This episode contains graphic details of murder and other crimes. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Not Always Polite. I'm your host, Celine, and thank you guys so much for all listening to the last episode. Really appreciate it. I'm so glad that we can get Donna Jean's story out there. You never know who might know something. I hope you guys don't mind the shorter episodes. I'm kind of taking on a lot right now. I'm back at school. I have 4 courses. I work full-time, and I'm on a Crohn's and colitis board chapter thing. So I'm doing a lot, and the podcast. So the next couple episodes are going to be a little shorter. I still want to share these stories, but there's not a lot of information about them. So bear with me. I hope you guys don't mind too much, but yeah. To all of my American listeners, happy inauguration. Trump is gone. He said, see ya. Bye to his Diet Coke button. And hello, Biden and Kamala Harris. I'm so excited for you guys. I hope things start to get better over there. But enough chitter chatter. Let's get at her. And I've never actually seen Letterkenny. I think he says pitter patter. Let's get at her. Chitter chatter. Let's get at her. That's the not always polite version. Today, I am going to be talking about Project Jericho. Now, I actually got this idea from TikTok. I saw a TikTok by the user Liv Smith on TikTok. She made a TikTok about this, and it made me want to look into it. So, let's get into the story of Project Jericho. So, like I said, this week we're talking about Project Jericho. This week's case takes place in the small towns of Cornwall and Prescott, Ontario. They are only about 80 kilometers apart on Highway 401. Prescott is the situation on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River in the county of Leeds and Grenville. These are all kind of in the like Ottawa Valley-ish area. In 2016, the town had a population of just 3,965, so it was in fact a small town, in my opinion. The Ogdensburg-Prescott International Bridge, 5 kilometers east of Prescott at Johnstown, connects the town with Ogdensburg, New York. The town is about an hour from both Ottawa and Kingston, Ontario. In the mid to late 1600s, the French occupied the area surrounding what was to become Prescott, Ontario. In 1760, the Battle of the Thousand Islands took place near present-day Prescott, Ontario. Fort Wellington became part of its second conflict in 1838, known as the Battle of the Windmill. Now, enough about Prescott, let's get into why you're all really here. Project Jericho. In the late 1800s, in the late 1980s, wow, Celine, in the late 1980s, Prescott became infamous when one of the largest sexual abuse investigations in Canada was conducted, dubbed Project Jericho. Project Jericho began in August 1989 after a young girl disclosed the details of her abuse to her foster parents. 5 years later, close to 300 victims and over 100 perpetrators had been named in the investigations. This case is interesting for many reasons, but Project Jericho remains the largest sex abuse investigation in Canadian history. The investigation was a joint effort between many organizations. Project Jericho consisted of members of the Ontario Provincial Police and local police departments, a special crown attorney, and a victim-slash-witness assistance coordinator, Family and Children's Services of Leeds-slash-Grenville, the Town of Prescott Council, the Ontario Government's Ministry of Community and Social Services, as well as the Adult Mental Health Services. The precise nature of the abuse varied from victim to victim and is actually still disputed to this day. According to initial reports, the 7-year-old female who initially came forward in 1989 stated that on top of the sexual abuse, she and other children were submerged in water, confined beneath the floor, and forced to drink, quote, yucky juice, which some have speculated to be blood. Additionally, adults are said to have terrorized or threatened her and other children with guns, knives, and other weapons. Many of these abuses were documented on videotape. In addition to the abuse I just talked about, victims alleged an infant boy, known only as Joshua, had been murdered by the accused abusers. Little information is known regarding the infant victim or the murder, and no body was ever found belonging to this Joshua boy. Project Jericho was actually named in honor of this alleged murder victim. Another notable thing that surprised me about this case was that the proportion of males was thought to be unusually high. 42% of the first 40 victims were male. So that was surprising to me. Overall, males constituted slightly more than one-third of all of the victims. Of the perpetrators, a high proportion were also developmentally handicapped. 22 people, or 18% of the perpetrators, were women, reflecting a higher number of females than generally thought to be involved with the sexual exploitation of children. 97 of the perpetrators were male. Many of these women, about 60%, were accomplices of their male partners, so their wife, their girlfriend, whatever. By 1990, arrests were being made with charges against 4 individuals being laid, while 37 individuals were confirmed or suspected victims. Some children began to be removed from their homes at this time. By 1994, the total number of child victims had skyrocketed all the way to 162, with the number of perpetrators being 119. So this is literally massive. The victims were primarily child victims, around 162 being children, while 113 were adults who came forward to disclose abuse suffered as children. Of the 65 cases that went to trial, the investigation saw a conviction rate of 91%. In Prescott, there would be numerous criminal convictions. In Cornwall, there would only be a handful, but an inquiry commissioner in 2009 would find widespread systematic and institutional failures. Obviously, if literally hundreds and hundreds of kids are being abused, there's got to be some systemic issues going on here in these towns. It's absolutely disgusting. So he accused people, including doctors and lawyers, justice officials, several Roman Catholic priests, which is just fucking like stereotypical at this point. Father Gilles Delaurier from the co-cathedral of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Cornwall had already been convicted in November of 1986, while Father Paul LaPierre acquitted in September 2001 of indecently assaulting a 13-year-old Cornwall classical college student and former altar boy in Alexandria, about 30 kilometers northeast of Cornwall, between March 1964 and June 1968, was later convicted in Montreal in June of 2004 for indecently assaulting the same boy in Quebec in 1965. Cornwall Classical College offered grades 9 to 13 as well as college courses and opened in 1949 as an all-boys Catholic school. But the college closed its doors in 1968. Normand Glauday, regional senior judge for the Northeast Region of Ontario Court of Justice, who served as commissioner for the $53 million Cornwall public inquiry between 2006 and 2009, launched by the Ontario government after the criminal proceedings ended, found systematic institutional failures by the Cornwall Police Service, DOC of Alexandria Cornwall, and the Children's Aid Society, as well as corrections and probations officers. So that $53 million basically found out that literally everyone in Cornwall was fucked and just like failing these children. While claims of pedophile rings, satanic and ritual abuse did not pan out, the abuse was not shown to be organized. It did prove to be interconnected in Prescott. So essentially there was no like ring for these freaks, like no pedophile ring, but they were connected throughout these small towns. So essentially, to summarize, in Prescott and Cornwall, Ontario, a total of 275 children were abuse victims by at least 119 perpetrators over an extensive period of time, at least from 1996 to 1994. I assume it was long before this because of the fucking Catholic school they had with these creepy priests, but this just, like, shocked me. I really wish there was more information, but obviously this was, like, a classified investigation, and there was literally no names I could find online. This was essentially it. So, yeah, that's Project Jericho. I'll leave links to everything on my link tree if you have any interest in looking into it more. Maybe you can find information I did not have. And, yeah. I know this episode was a little shorter than some of my previous ones, so again, I do apologize, but I felt like this was important to share. So thank you again for listening to Not Always Polite. Make sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter @NotAlwaysPolite, and I will catch you guys next week. Bye!